Turn in your Bibles to Luke chapter 17. We read the passage earlier. Now, this is a special week. I was asking someone, not a Christian, I was just testing the waters a little. I said, what special day is coming next week? He was definitely not a Christian, but you know what his response was? It was not Thanksgiving. It was Black Friday. Now, is that not a testimony of our culture? The commercialism of going out for the sales was what came to his mind. But for me, Thanksgiving is a very, very special holiday. It is special because it is not as commercialized. It is a time, as a family unit, we go around and we share one by one. I suspect most families do that. I hope most families do. Just go around the room and share what you're thankful for the year, or for the last 6 months, and just give an opportunity to reaffirm within the household concern and compassion and gratefulness for one another, and it's just a real precious time. When I look at this passage, it was interesting that my wife was teaching the little kids this morning, and she had the same passage with them, so I was out getting paint sticks so they could make their little man with a leprosy. And I thought I would just briefly look at this passage tonight in the few minutes we have left. It's a simple thought, like a devotional thought, but a very, very, very important thought for all of us in the society in which we live, where we run so fast. I have an outline. Do you have it available to you? The first thing, that anyone need one that doesn't have one? Yes, in the back we have a couple. Could you... Pete, thank you. Appreciate that. You know, when you look at this, what I like to do with a passage, and one of the helps that I have really used often, should mention it to you, is the outline Bible. And I'm going to share with you basically the outline Bible and the outline that comes with this. It isn't really a Bible. It's just a bunch of outlines on every passage of the Bible. But it is very, very helpful to me to look at the passage at the start to make sure that I'm seeing it in its proper perspective. The first thing it talks about is the request of the ten that are made in the 11 through 14. And it really is the setting of the passage. So let me quickly read it once again. Now, it happened as he went to Jerusalem. Now, by the way, the fact that he mentions he went to Jerusalem, if we were going through the book of Luke, this would have been a lot of times before this. He starts mentioning, he's headed that direction, that he passed through the midst of Samaria and Galilee. And in particular, that's significant because that's an area the normal Jewish person would not walk through. And then as he entered a certain village, there met him 10 men who were lepers, who stood afar off, and they lifted up their voices and said, Jesus, Master, have mercy on us. So when he saw them, he said to them, go show yourself to the priest. And so it was that as they went, they were cleansed. Well, the first thing I want you to note is the request of the ten, the circumstances that surrounded it. When it happened that he went to Jerusalem, he had been ministering up in Galilee, and now he's headed towards Jerusalem. He passes through the midst of Samaria. You try to get that into perspective. First of all, you have a group of Jewish men and probably other Jewish people following them, and they're going into an area that is not racially the same. Okay, that's significant. They're Samaritan. And it's very significant at that time because there was truly animosity between the groups, because the Jewish people constantly looked down and spoke poorly of the Samaritans. So you have them walking through their area. Most of the time, Jewish people that lived up in Galilee that would go down to Jerusalem would go a long ways out of their way. They'd walk an extra day or so to just avoid going through the area because they didn't want to get themselves dirty with these people. Now think about that culturally. Now, in some respects, I know people that won't drive through our community. You know that? Do you have some people? I have a lot of people that I know that will not drive through here. Now, you got to remember, they're not driving through anywhere. This group is walking. Okay? So they're saying they didn't want to walk through there. Now they're walking, and there would be a little tension here. They wouldn't be overly welcome. And then he entered a certain village that met him 10 men who were lepers. Now, I know the little stick that the kids were handed out. You remember that when you colored it in class this morning? I wish I would have brought one of them. You looked at the hand. They had their hands bandaged and that type of thing. Leprosy is a pretty serious thing. In fact, as I have a picture, and I don't mean to gross anyone out, I selected the picture carefully. But I had the privilege, it was actually, the privilege to go on a leprosy colony in Liberia during the Civil War. Civil War was going on. That's significant because the fact that the Civil War was going on, there was not an adequate amount of food. We only ate once a day when we were there for 10 days. And water was always a challenge. And guess what the leprosy colony was absent of? Short of? Any medication. Okay, so this was not a good situation. And boy, that's now over 10 years ago. And I remember that how stunned I was to see the people. I remember one man in particular who was a pastor of one of the remote villages who had gotten leprosy. And he was still sharing the gospel. But now he had lost his fingers because they had deteriorated. And he held his Bible like this and he had to turn his pages. And he kept what was making him so frustrated that he was ripping his Bible as he turned his pages of his Bible, because his skin was so cut up. Well, these men were lepers. They were in trouble. This was a disease that, although the term leprosy at that time was very broad, and so some people would get better because they would get just a normal rash or something like that, and people would get scared it's leprosy, and they would be told to get out of the camp and go live with the lepers to get out of the rest of the community, and then some would get better. But often, apparently, the problem was that people that would likely have just minor rashes would end up being sent into the colony, and then in the colony contract the real thing. So it was a vicious, vicious cycle that was going on. They stood afar off. That was according to Leviticus, and that was a rule in that they're not to get close to the others, and the others didn't want them close because they were afraid of getting the infection. So that's the circumstance that we have going on. And then here's what they're up in here in Galilee, and they're headed down here to Jerusalem, and Samaria would go from right about here, from somewhere, and it depends whether this valley right now would be considered in Galilee or in Samaria, and the maps for that time varied, and I don't know why they vary. I have never really got into that, but sometimes this is included in Samaria, and this map, it's included in Galilee. But the point that I wanted to make is that this is one of the trails that you would walk, and that's because you'd walk along the ridges. Either you walk in the valleys until you get to the ridges, then you walk on top of the ridges, because this is reasonably high up in elevation. In this area, it's like up 2,700 feet. You know, it's a long ways up. And down here is 500 feet under, below the sea level. So they're walking along the top, and they're following this path. Here's the point that I wanted to make. To go from right here down to about here, which is a good estimate about where Samaria would end, would be approximately 30 miles. Now, here's an important thought. An average person walks on a level ground at 3 miles an hour. So if it's 30 miles and it's flat ground, although it's not, they're walking over some reasonably rough terrain, how far would you get in one day? You would have to walk for 10 hours without stopping to get to the other side. So in 12 hours, you may be able to get to the other side, and I suspect that they were pretty committed to get to the other side, because it wasn't like there were hotels to stay in. So they would have been walking pretty steady, okay? So it was a real commitment that they were going through this area, because they wouldn't have wanted to break while they're going through it, I doubt. That's one aspect. This, I just took the one picture of a foot. Now, this could be the face. It could be other parts of the body. Now, doesn't that look like that's a bottom of a foot? Now, the one thing that it looks so like it would be so super painful One of the things I remember from my visit to the leprosy colony was the one man that spoke, and they all spoke English, but with a dialect that I could understand. He says it doesn't hurt. That's one of the problems. It doesn't hurt, and therefore a lot of the damage they do is they've lost the sensation. Okay? But think about this. If you were one of the 10, and you had sores like this over your body, on your face, on your hands, you know, just everywhere, how would you feel if you were told to start heading for the priest and all of a sudden you were healed? Would you be a little excited? You know, I think you'd just be so thrilled. It'd be just stunning. Three observations about gratitude that I want you to keep an eye on as we go for, through this passage. Gratitude sets a person apart from the crowd. I know this personally. You probably do too if you think about it. Some people are more grateful for things than others. And the ones that are consistently that way, you know who they are. And it's just a blessing to help them. Number two, gratitude or being thankful produces an action, not simply a thought. And at least from this passage, I get the emphasis that it has to be more. I suspect all 10 of them were thrilled to be healed, wouldn't you think? I mean, you know, they're all thrilled, but one of them demonstrated gratitude. The others did not. Gratitude opens the door for more. And that's an important truth. And I think the passage speaks to that. I've seen it in my own life. We'll come back and explain that as we go along. Now we move on to the request of the 10. The cry is the first thing in verse 13. And they lifted up their voice and said, "Jesus, Master, have mercy on us." They were yelling, "Hey, we're over here." Now, wouldn't you be yelling? You had heard that this man had the power to raise the dead, had to heal the sick. I would have been yelling too. And that they did. They raised their voice and tried to draw attention. And then the commandment. So when he saw them, he said to them, "Go show yourself to the priest." Now, well, you can read over that and miss the point. Leviticus would tell them there to do that if they got healed. I want you to be very careful, though, as you read this, to recognize they were told to head towards the priest before they were healed. In other words, they would have to make a decision, okay, I'm going to follow what the Lord says, even though it doesn't seem to make sense right now. I want to be healed right now. That was not the point. He said, go and show yourself to the priest, and they had to make a decision. And so it was that as they went, the cleansing took place. As they went, they were clean. They responded by faith, and not until they responded by faith were they healed. By the way, that works with us too. You could sit there, you know, haven't you worked with people or you debate the truths of the gospel? Debate the truths of sanctification. And they just never want to put it into practice. We're talking always in intellectual terms. Well, that's flat out not adequate. When the word says it, you've got to just say, you know what? I believe it and I'm going to do it. And then you got to be about it. And that's how God works. Many, 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 many times in our lives, we need to respond to what is told before we see the results. The return of one. It switches in 15. And one of them, when he saw that he was healed, returned and with a loud voice glorified God and fell down on his face at his feet, giving thanks. And he was a Samaritan. So Jesus answered and said, "Where were there not 10 cleansed? But where are the 9? Were there not any found who returned to give glory to God except this foreigner?" And he said to him, "Arise, go your way. Your faith has made you well." Okay, first of all, right here. Why has he come? Why he comes? He comes to glorify God. Notice what he does. Then one of them, when he saw that he was healed, returned and with a loud voice glorified God. Now, there's a couple things, by the way. I was, at least when I read this, I noted this fact that it was with a loud voice. You know, many times we see it even in our own work. People have miraculous things go on in their life that really are just miraculous, how God intervenes and helps them. But they hardly give a testimony. I just want to say to all of us, listen, when God does something in our life, we ought to make known and give him the glory. Others ought to hear about it. That it's so important for a culture that is losing track that there is really a God. There is really a God. He really does do a work in my life and in your life, and we need to make a loud noise glorifying him about it so others can see and hear what great things God is doing. Number two, not only did he glorify God, but he fell down on his face at his feet, the Son of God, giving him thanks. That fall down on his feet, he was prostrate. That was just, he just threw himself down, showed tremendous humility. But notice, he's glorifying God and thanking the Son, God the Son. What an important reminder for us. And notice the next thought. Who? The first one was why he comes. He comes to glorify and to thank. And the second one, who he is. He is a Samaritan. Now, this is an encouraging thought that, again, is easy to miss. But Jesus came to the household of the Jews. He came to the Jews. He came to seek the lost and the sinners. But there's all sorts of reminders throughout the Gospels that he wanted all people to be reached. And this is another classic example of it. To the religious Jews, this was pretty stunning, that it was the Samaritan who was pointed out as the right one. Now, we know that's happened in other places in the Gospel. I think of the Good Samaritan, who was the one that stopped to help the person. What was stunning about it wasn't the priest, it wasn't the scribe, it was the Samaritan. The one who they would lose their ceremonial cleanliness if they were around him too much. And then what he finds, the hardness of the nine. So Jesus answered and said, were there not 10 cleansed? But where are the nine? Were there not any found who returned to give glory to God except this foreigner? In other words, when I read this, I recognize that our Lord gets a little upset for the people that have him doing, that he does great things for, and there's no gratefulness. He doesn't appreciate that. We ought to take a look at our own life, things that he's doing for us. You know, the mere fact that we're here, we ought to be grateful. There are people, you know, I'll tell you what, I'm certain Myron Hawkins would want to be here tonight. If he could. But he can't. And what's the difference? A sovereign God has said that he's not going to have the health right now to do it. He gave me the health to do it. And so I want to thank him for it. Who knows when I won't, but even then we want to thank him for that circumstance. We want to be thankful for the path that he takes us down. The hardness, and then the other one, was the heart of the one. And he said to him, arise, go your way. Your faith has made you well. You know, I had said before how gratitude opens up the doors. Did you understand? You understand the other nine would have been, I don't know what they were thinking. It doesn't tell us in Scripture, but in my own mind, I tried to picture, what were these guys thinking? Well, I think they probably were saying, boy, it was lucky for us that we happened to be there. Lucky we were part of this group that yelled out to that Messiah. And he said for us to head there, boy, we were fortunate. That was really a good stroke of luck. It had to be something like that. Clearly they didn't have the full vision of it. The one who comes back with gratitude has it explained to him. Now listen. Your faith has made you well. Your belief in who I am and what I told you to do, that's the key. There's a lot of implications for the word that's made you well. That, and a lot of scholars have gone on to say that it speaks to his salvation, and probably does. But that's a stretch, because that particular word is used both of physical healing, in a lot of the cases almost equal in number to the number of cases where it's used in regards to salvation. But the point is, he was blessed to understand how God had worked in his life. And the agent of action, as far as his responsibility was concerned. By the way, I know that for me. I know that I went from being a lost person to being a child of God when I had faith. When I believed the message, when I accepted the truth, there's power in that. There's also power in facing problems when we have faith. There's a confidence that we can have, a peace that we can have in the midst of troubles. When we say, you know what, I trust my God. The Word of God says all things work together for good for them that love God, them that are called according to purpose. I can claim that promise even in the midst of trouble. All I have to do is check whether or not I love him, whether I'm called according to his purpose, whether I've gotten off path, and if I have, then I just need to repent and get back on path. Now, three observations. I said them earlier. Gratitude sets a person apart from the crowd. Do you notice he was set apart? He was different than the other nine. And I'll tell you what, if you think about people you know, and you can identify somebody that characterizes himself with a grateful, humble spirit, you know it sets them apart. You just say, you know what, I like working with him. I like being around them. And you know what? Others will like us if we will manifest that. We can do this. You and I can purpose to say, you know what, I'm going to be a person of gratitude. I'm going to be a humble, grateful, thankful person. Versus the opposite. Number two, gratitude produces an action, not simply a thought. How often, now I'm really not good at this actually, how often I've thought of saying, you know what, I've got to write a thank you note, I've got to do this, I've got to make this phone call. And it's so easy to have that thought and not get around. I know some in here are excellent at it. I see Marie McLaughlin, and I've always been amazed at how you do that. You do it so quickly. And I know others are really good at this. And that is a wonderful skill. And I'll tell you what, being the one who does it is a blessing. Because you get blessed because of it. People are pray for you and think about it and are gratified by the fact that you acknowledged it. And this one, gratitude opens the door for more. And I think of that when I thought of the man who had it explained to him that, listen, the key here is to believe what I say. That's the Messiah speaking. Believe what I say I am. Believe what I tell you to do. And good things happen. That's a great message. It's a good message for us to put into practice. Now, how can we put this passage to practice tonight and all week long, actually for the rest of our life? Well, I'll tell you what, it's really simple. I'm not going to belabor this. This is the devotional thought. Even the youngest child here can get this, okay? We talk about the 10 all being healed. The one responds with gratefulness and humility, praising God and thanking the Savior. You have to choose. You got to say, you know what? I probably am not thought of as a grateful person, but you know what? I'm going to do my best to make that part of who I am. That's a choice we make. You know, I think of my grandson, Alex. You know, I use that all the time. He's a quick little mind, but he needs to be challenged to choose wisely And so do all of us. And then you got to decide, all right, if you choose, you got to decide, I'm going to act on this now. Because I suspect that of those 10 that were healed, not just one of them said, you know what, I probably should go back and thank the man. This is really wonderful. But only one got around to doing it. Now, here's what I would say is a very practical thing that we could all do tonight. We could all do this week. Make a list. Make a list, particular of people that you're grateful for. And actually look for those that you may not have really been reaching out and telling them you're grateful for them. Make a list. Nothing magic about that. It's just pretty straightforward. Not only make a list, but once you make the list, absolutely decide to make an effort to connect. Now, for some, it could be a note. For another, it could be a phone call. For others, you could do it in person. But you got to make an effort. Just making the list will not do much. And last of all, make some noise. Remember how they were, he came back, and even when they were reaching out, they were making noise, but he came back thrilled that God had done something for him. And he was telling others. It is not a bad thing for us to do to acknowledge others, be grateful for others in and before, in the presence of others, so that others can hear your accolades. Simple challenge. Father, I pray that on this Thanksgiving week, we would really, truly reflect. All of us would choose to be more grateful. I pray that each one of us would purpose to make that part of who we are. And I ask, Father, that you would help us as a body, as a church body, that we would be characteristic of a grateful people. Grateful for you and grateful for one another. I personally, as pastor, am so humbled to have the privilege to pastor this group. This group is so many that are so committed and so dedicated and so sacrificial. I'm so grateful. And Father, I pray that you would help us to even go to another level. Father, that everyone that would come into our midst would be able to sense not only our warmth for them, but they would see the interaction that we have for one another and be drawn to it like a magnet. And we thank you for this in Jesus' name. Amen.